begin to talk for several weeks about the subject of breaking barriers. We're going to continue along that line today, part five. We're definitely going to finish this up by next week. But again, there's CDs back there. Feel free to pick those up or just go on our website and just download it for free, praise God. Make as many copies as you want. But we talked about, first of all, what is a barrier? And then we talked about identifying your barriers, you know. I'm not going to take the time to go into detail, but you can go back and listen, so forth. And then we talked about how barriers are formed in a person's life. And we talked about the process, and that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about the process of breaking barriers in your life. Amen? Now, the word barrier simply means this, according to Webster's Dictionary. It says, anything that restrains, impedes, obstructs progress or access, a limit or boundary of any kind. So a barrier. How many had, you know, a few barriers in your life? Some boundaries, some that try to be imposed upon you. But listen, I'll tell you what. Every one of you here have broken some boundaries in your life already. Do you know that? How many here broke the speed limit before? We won't talk about that. We were coming out to church this morning, and Josh was driving. He goes, I think there's a policeman behind me. It's an unmarked car. So he got real paranoid for a minute here, you know. Is he going to pull me over? No, no, you're okay. Don't worry about it. We're not talking about those kind of boundaries, but we're talking about anything that restrains, that impedes, that obstructs you. And, you know, and we have to understand this, that most of the time, the enemy is going to try to use a person that has a physical body to impose those limitations on you. There'll be people that will tell you, you can't do this. There'll be people, there's always more naysayers than there are people that will say, you can do this. All right? Just like in Israel, you know, the 12 spies came back. Well, 10 came back with an evil report of unbelief. There was only two that came back with a good report that said, we can do this. God said it, we can do it. Now think about it. That's the minority, 2 out of 12. Okay? And but God never imposes limitations on you. People can try to impose limitations on us and their voices. How many of you know a person can speak for the devil and not even realize it? Even Christian folks, we've all done it. I mean, Peter, think about Peter. Jesus one day got curious and he said, who do men say that I am? Remember that? And he's asking his disciples and they said, well, some say you're Elijah. Some say you're John the Baptist risen from the dead or one of the other prophets, you know. Well, that's what the majority of the people were saying. Jesus is looking for a different response. So he asked his disciples, he said, who do you say that I am? Well, Peter spoke up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus rose up and he said, flesh and blood hasn't revealed that to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And Jesus said this, upon that rock of revealed knowledge, not Peter, he says, I will build my church. And the gates and the governments of hell will not prevail against it. The revelation knowledge of God's word. Amen. Now that couldn't have been Peter because just a few moments later, Jesus began to talk about going to the cross and dying, and Peter pulled Jesus aside. Now listen, he had good intentions. And sometimes people can have good intentions, but it's inspired of the enemy. Jesus, Peter pulled him aside. He said, Jesus, what are you talking about going to the cross? Be it far from you, you know? Remember what Jesus' response was? He said, he turned and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, Peter's probably feeling pretty good initially because Jesus said, Holy Ghost revealed that to you. He's probably like, yeah. Well, you know, he's human like you and I. You feel pretty good about yourself. You yield to the Lord and he says, that was the Holy Ghost. You're like, yeah, I feel pretty good about myself. But then a few moments, 20 minutes later, he's speaking for the enemy. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Well, that just deflated him right there. So sometimes well-meaning people can speak from the enemy and not even realize it. And listen, we've all done that. Now, that doesn't mean you're demon-possessed. Okay, aren't you glad for that? But that means that sometimes we can hear information that sounds logical from the human standpoint. It sounds okay, you know. And so it's human knowledge, but it's not the wisdom of God. It's better to listen and do what the Lord to say what he wants us to say. Of course, Jesus Christ is our model, is he not? Jesus said this, Now, here's where people make the mistake that they put Jesus only in a class by himself, when we need to realize that Jesus Christ is trying to instruct us and teach us how that we are to operate in this life. Instead of just putting him, well, that's Jesus, he can do that, he can calm the storm, he can hear from God, he can speak, that's Jesus. But we come over here and said, I can't do that. No, Jesus was, he rebuked his disciples because they could have did the same thing that he did. When he calmed the waters, he rebuked them for their unbelief. In other words, he expected them to do it. Amen? Well, Jesus said, I only speak what I hear my Father speak. I only do what I see my Father do. Is it possible for you and for me to do the same thing? Of course. Now, the key is don't, you know, if we miss it, which we do sometimes. How many of you here have ever hit it 100% of the time hearing from heaven? No. We sometimes miss it. That's okay. It's better to get out on the water and get a little bit wet than to sit back in the boat and not get wet at all. Okay? The main thing is you're homing in on your skills and your hearing ability to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to you. Amen? And one of the greatest advantages that you and I have as members of the body of Christ is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be able to speak in a heavenly tongue. A language from heaven. Of course, it sounds like you when you speak. It's not, you know, it's not someone else's voice. It's God using your voice. It sounds like you. Okay? When I speak in tongues, I'm not speaking soprano or something like that. That'd be kind of dangerous. Amen? But it's a supernatural language that gives us, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, that he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Howbeit in the Spirit, he speaketh divine secrets. So when you're praying in the Holy Ghost, you're not speaking unto men, you're speaking unto God. So in other words, on your radio, you're tuning into the Spirit channel. That doesn't mean spooky, weird, okay? But that means there's a frequency out there that you can home into heaven and hear what heaven is saying to you. Amen? And that voice and that inward witness and that spirit that will guide you is primarily, and this isn't in our subject this morning, but primarily the number one way that God will lead all his children is by the inward witness. Amen? And it's when we don't listen to the inward witness that we get in trouble. We get involved with a person that we shouldn't be involved with. Amen? And the whole time the Lord's trying to show us on the inside. He's scratching there. Something's down on the end. But see, for most people, like one guy said, he's got the Holy Ghost is in you, but his hands are tied and he's gagged in the basement of your life. And he's down there. And the Holy Ghost is trying to say something to you, but you don't want to hear it. Because your flesh wants something bad enough. How many of you know you can want something bad enough, but once you get it, you realize you don't want that? Amen. Has that ever happened to any other than me? I mean, you're like, I really want that, Lord. And you get it like, boy, that I don't know if I want that now. You know what I'm saying? But the Holy Spirit endeavors to speak. His best job is comfort. And he can bring comfort. He wants to bring comfort to you. He loves to bring comfort to you. Well, how does he comfort you? Does he throw a big blanket on you? No. He speaks. Say, the Holy Ghost speaks. And he speaks to us. And when he speaks to us, then I'm telling you what, that's the most awesome thing to know that you heard from heaven. I'm so glad that we heard from heaven about some of the decisions that we made in our lives. Amen? And at the time when you make those choices and make those decisions, you may not see the end result right away. Most of the time you don't. But then as you stay with it and you stay plugged and you stay hooked, then you begin to see the fruit. Then you begin to see the results and you begin to see, oh, this is what God meant when he said, do this. Praise God. Well, anything that restrains, impedes, or obstructs progress, a limit or a boundary is a barrier. Now, we talked about how barriers are formed. We talked about how that there's through lack of knowledge. And then we also talked about small thinking. And we went into detail along that line. Now, today in Isaiah chapter 54, let's look at verse 1. It's Isaiah 54, and verse 1 says, sing, O barren. Now, that doesn't sound too logical, does it? Most of us would read, cry, oh barren. Barrenness means without. Okay? But he says, sing, O barren. Thou that did not bear, break forth into singing. Amen? Talk about a breakdance there, man. Break forth into singing. Cry aloud, thou that did not travail with child. For more the children of the desolate than the children of the marriage, saith the Lord. Now look at what he says in verse 2. Enlarge the place. Now this is where we start thinking big. We start thinking beyond our boundaries where we're at. Okay? Listen, the Lord doesn't want you to have any kind of boundaries in your life. Financial boundaries. People say, well, I'm on a fixed income. And what they mean by that is I'm retired. I get a check from the government. So that's a fixed income. Listen, do you think God can move beyond that check at the end of the month?
Yes.
Well, if we put a boundary and a limit on that, then we can limit God from doing other things. Do you know God can bless you outside of your job? Do you know that God can bless you beyond working 80 hours a week? Huh? See, people think naturally, well, if I want more money, I gotta get a second job. I gotta go do this. Listen, you'd be better off spending time laboring in the Word of God. And I'm not saying quit your job. Okay, I'm not saying that. But if you labor in the Word of God, God will repay you. Okay? He can get things to you outside of your normal means of income, praise God. But notice it says here in verse 2, enlarge the place of thy tent. Let them stretch forth thy curtains of thine habitations. Spare not. Lengthen thy cords. Strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Now that's pretty amazing there. This sounds to me like someone that's going to break some barriers. In other words, he shall, you know, spare not, lengthen thy cords, right? Strengthen thy stakes, enlarge the place of thy tent. In other words, make preparation, make room for increase in your life. Make room for increase. Well, what kind of increase? Whatever you need from God. On Friday night, we had a powerful prayer service here. I mean, the presence of God was so strong in here. And most of the time when we come together and we pray, there's a couple of things that I'll have in mind that, you know, we need to pray for this. We always pray for the government, you know. They need a lot of prayer, don't they? And then there's some other things we pray for, but yet at the same time, we keep ourselves open to pray what the Spirit of God wants us to pray for. So we'll pray in the Spirit. We'll pray in other tongues for a little while. Then the Lord will say, I want you to pray for this. You know, just an inward witness. Pray for this. Pray for that. And as we were praying, I didn't know that the Lord had showed my wife this because we didn't even talk about it. But I began to say some things about an open heaven. So I began to speak that out. Now, the Lord had showed my wife, I think, the day before. Or that morning, I can't remember which, you know, and she never told me, never said a word about it, but it was the exact same thing that I began to speak out, you know, and out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And one of the things I began to just release in my heart is I began to say, there's an open heaven over you in this body right now.
Hallelujah.
And what that means is this, is that where it seemed like the heavens were brass before, like there was long answers to prayer that took a long time, there's going to be rapid, quick answers. You pray, God answers, there it is right there. It just shows up.
Amen.
And so the Holy Ghost began to say, get ready for that. Get ready. Make preparation. Hallelujah. For increase. And begin to ask God for the things that you desire. Remember, Jesus said, ask and it shall be given unto you.
Amen.
Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. So he says, ask, seek, knock, and he says, here, it'll be open unto you. Well, if we don't knock, we don't seek, we don't ask, then, you know, how can it be given to us? Are you with me now? Praise God. So what is it that you need from the Lord? Maybe that's a barrier in your life that, you know, why even ask? I don't know if I'm going to get it. You know what I'm saying? Well, listen, start shifting and changing the way that you think and begin to realize God is on your side. If God be for you, who can be against you?
Amen.
And though you may have had some setbacks in your life, you might have had some disappointments in your life. We all have. There's not one person in this room that hasn't had setbacks and disappointments. Okay? That's not a word of knowledge. That's just human nature. okay? But it's what we do with those setbacks. A lot of people can't survive a few setbacks. They can't even, they quit. They give up. They just give up. They quit. Now, they're not putting that in their daytime or when they wake up, but it's just, oh, geez, not this again, you know? And it's a slow process sometimes, and people just get weary, and they quit asking, they quit seeking. And then before you know it, they're right back in that worldly mindset, you know? But God says, just shake that thing off and get confident, get bold, begin to ask God. My goodness, if you need a new job, you know, if you're having some real issues, you know, how many of you know God can give you another job? A better job, better pay, better hours. Amen? So you can come to church. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, to break barriers, and today we're talking about this process here in the time that we have here, to break barriers in your life. This is the first thing we're going to talk about here to break. How many of you want to break some barriers in your life? Now, this has nothing to do with your age. You can be 95, 105, 205, and still break some barriers. By the fact that you reach 100, you broke some barriers. Amen? The fact that you were born, you broke millions of barriers. Stop thinking about that. Amen? Luke chapter 5, if you would go ahead over there. Luke chapter 5, and we're going to start in verse 17. To break some barriers, to break barriers in your life, this is the process that you have to be willing, number one, if you're taking notes, willing to go beyond your comfort zone. Willing to go beyond your comfort zone. God can have you live in a house that you would only dreamt about in your past.
Amen.
God can have you drive a vehicle that you only dreamed about with other people. God can have you experience things that you only dreamt about in your life if you take the limits off God. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. But notice here in Luke chapter 5, verse 17, it says this, and it came to pass on a certain day that Jesus was teaching, and there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee, of Judea, and Jerusalem. And notice this, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. But notice that, what kind of power was present to heal them? The power of the Lord was present. The healing power of God was present to heal them. But notice that no one was getting healed. The power can be present, but not tapped into. Amen? Do you know there's healing power in this room right now?
Amen.
The power of the Lord's present. Amen? Just like electricity, you just tap into it. Turn the switch on, there comes the lights. Okay? Well, the control is not up to the electric company. That's up to us. They're sending the power from another source that you can't see. Our job is to put the lights on and off. Okay? And so it is with the healing power of God. Now notice that in verse 17 that the power of the Lord was present to heal. But then verse 18 says, and it says, and behold, men brought in a bed a man that which was taken with palsy. Okay, in other words, he couldn't walk. And they sought means to bring him in to lay him before Jesus. Now, verse 18 says they sought means to bring him to Jesus. So in other words, they came late to the church service, okay? And there were so many people in the house, okay? I'm not criticizing. You understand what I'm saying here. But they got there probably because they're carrying, you know, there's four guys carrying this one guy. They're going to be a little bit behind, you know what I'm saying? But when they got to where Jesus was, they realized there are too many people here for this to work. Here's a barrier. The barrier is this. You can't get in there. There's too many people there. It's sold out. Are you with me? Praise God. A number of years ago, I remember I went to, this was probably like 15 years ago. It was a Good Friday service. Benny Hinn was doing a Good Friday service at the Civic Arena when that was there. And many, many years ago. And so I kind of went down late, you know, and I was by myself. I just felt like I was supposed to go, you know. And when I came to the front doors, They had closed the doors. They said, it's packed out. There's no seats left in here, you know. So I went around to the other side, the door over there, and they said the same thing. I'm like, oh, I took all this time to drive down here, you know. And so I started to pray. I said, Lord, I believe you sent me down here. You've got a way for me to get in here, praise God. And about that time, some guy from an exit door. It wasn't even a main door. He was a worker at the Civic Arena. Opened the door. He says, hey, come here. Excuse me? Me? Yeah, he goes, come here. And it was like he heard me pray or something. He was inside, you know. I said, yeah. He goes, you need a seat. I go, yeah. He goes, come on, follow me. And he took me down almost to the front.
Hallelujah.
And sat me down there. Praise God. But it would have been so easy just to give up. You know what I'm saying? Boy, I'll tell you, the presence of God came in that place. Man, it was wonderful, you know. And so it is with this guy right here that was on a stretcher. He needed healing bad, you know. He had palsy, couldn't walk. And so he had four courageous, crazy friends. I think everybody needs four courageous friends like this. Just crazy enough to believe the Word of God.
Amen.
Could you use some, one or two even? Amen? Just people that are crazy enough to believe the Bible and Word of God. Amen? Well, they brought him to Jesus. And of course, when they got there, there was standing room only. It was packed out. They could not get in him. Now notice it says that, verse 18 says, and behold, the man brought a man which was taken with palsy. In this, they sought means to bring him in and lay him before him. And they could not find by what they might bring him in because of the multitude. Now, in other words, they sat down and they were like, there's got to be a way. Let me say this. Don't be so quick to give up. Just because you have an obstacle in your life, don't be surprised by that. I can't tell you how many obstacles I have had in my life, even more recently, certain obstacles that try to just stand up and say, you ain't doing that. You're not doing that. And it's all things that God wants me to do. You know what I'm saying? And I have to just say, shut up, devil. Instead of listening to him. Because if the Lord wants me to do something, I'm going to do it. With his help, I'm going to do it. Well, they sought means. In other words, they sat down, they said, there's got to be a way. Someone, one of those four, got an idea. Wait a minute. I see people in the window. I see people in the door. I see people in the house, but I don't see anybody up on the roof. Now, they had to be pretty crazy to think that. Because the guy's thinking, I'm already paralyzed, you know. At least I can move my head, you know. But they came into an agreement. They said, okay. So this took some ingenuity and some bravery to not only get up on the top of that roof, but then to start breaking the roof apart. Now let's look and see what happened right here. Verse 19 says, when they could not find a way by, they might bring him in because of the multitude. They went up on the housetop, let him down through the tiling with his couch in the midst before Jesus. Praise God. So here's Jesus. He's ministering in this house. And all of a sudden, particles from the ceiling start coming down. You know that's what happened. And all of a sudden, there's the first skylight. That people are like, what in the world is going on? I'm sure Jesus and everybody stopped to see what was going on. And all of a sudden, they're breaking apart the roof, you know. They're not even thinking about the guy's property. They're just, we've got to get to Jesus. I don't care what it takes. We're going to rip a hole in the ceiling if we have to do that. Amen? So they were desperate. Okay? And if you want something bad enough from the Lord, you've got to be desperate. You can't be the little sign of inconvenience or, you know, not feeling comfortable or a little bit of resistance. Don't let that be a sign that you're not supposed to have that thing. I mean, you got to have some bulldog tenacity.
Amen.
And say, this is it. I'm telling you, I'm going to receive this. I'm going to have it.
Amen.
I mean it. Hallelujah. And I've noticed this, that when people have that kind of bulldog tenacity and perseverance and not give up attitude, I'm telling you, they're the people that always receive. Do not be surprised if you step out and you do something to obey God and stretch yourself that you get some resistance. I'm saying this by the word of the Lord right now. Do not be surprised if you have some resistance come up. That's not a sign that you're not supposed to be doing that. That's just the enemy trying to block you from receiving your miracle. Amen? Because on the other side of that wall, on the other side of that resistance is your miracle. I mean, it's right there. It's closer than you think. Amen? You receive that? So what happened here? Verse 21, or 20, it says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto him, the man, thy sins be forgiven thee. Thy sins are forgiven thee. Now, it's interesting, he wasn't coming for forgiveness. He was coming for healing. But he got both. But notice it says right here in verse 21, the scribes and the Pharisees began reasoning, saying, who is this that speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But Jesus perceived their thoughts. Notice that. And sometimes you know, you're walking with the Lord, you'll perceive what people are thinking. It happens to me all the time. Amen. Jesus perceived their thoughts, and he answered and said unto them, why reason ye among your hearts? He said, verse 23, whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk. So Jesus is asking them a question, which is easier? To say, your sins are forgiven, or number two, rise up and walk. Which is easier? He's asking them a question. Well, they didn't know what to say. Well, look at what happened. Verse 24, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power upon earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise. Now, take up thy couch, go into thine house. This is all that Jesus said to him. Arise, take up thy bed, and walk, and go into thine house. Verse 25, and immediately he rose up before them, took up that whereupon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things here today. To religious people, that's strange, you know, like, I mean, in a bad way. You know what I mean? This is kind of strange here. Listen, when people get healed, that's not strange. That's good. That's good. Now, this, we're talking about, you know, if you're going to break some obstacles, you have to be willing to do things and step out beyond your comfort zone. Do things that are maybe a little uncomfortable. You know, we're all creatures of habit and routine and so forth, but sometimes the Lord will have you break that routine a little bit. Amen. Get a little more serious about it. Okay? Because if you want results, you have to do things that normally you're not used to doing. You got to be able to do things. Amen? And get that word down inside your heart. Well, what happened? Jesus said, thy sins be forgiven thee. So in other words, the root cause was dealt with and his sins were forgiven. Now he says, rise up and walk. Listen, sickness came. Now tonight, we're going to talk about our redemption and about being redeemed from the curse of the law. You don't want to miss that. It's going to be powerful. Got some revelation on that tonight. But Jesus took care of the sin problem. Sin is what introduced sickness into the earth. Do you know there was no sickness, there was no disease, no arthritis, no tuberculosis? None of that stuff came prior to the fall of Adam. It was after Adam sinned that those things, the curses, began to come upon the earth. Are you with me? Jesus dealt with the sin problem by taking our sins upon him and nailing it to the cross. As a result, we're legally free from sin and we're also legally free from sickness and disease. Praise God. And that's why Jesus said this. Which is easier? No, he didn't say harder. See, religious minds said, well, healing is hard. It's difficult to get healed. Jesus said it's easy. Well, Jesus even said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Well, in this situation right here, What do we see? We see a man that's been crippled for a long, long time. His barrier was he couldn't walk. He had to depend on everybody else to get him around. Crippled, all right? Now, praise God, he had some good friends, and they were able to get him to that place. But here's what we see here is we have an obstacle, we have a barrier, but they didn't quit. They didn't give up. I wonder how many times all of us here have came so close to our miracle, and before it came, we just backed off. We just quit. And here's that miracle just right there, just on that close to you, and we just didn't see it. Amen? Probably the stronger the resistance that you're having means you're that much closer to what you're believing God for. Okay? Well, Jesus said it's easy. Your sins are forgiven. Now, for us, that will be difficult. But Jesus made it easy. You know, I remember, I'm not too terribly old, but I remember that before they had power steering. How many know what I'm talking about? Well, I tell you what, you had to have some triceps and biceps and muscles upon muscles to turn that wheel without, how many of you know what I'm talking about? Those wheels, you know. I when I was going to Bible school, I drove a school bus for Broken Arrow School District, and I'm talking a school bus that didn't have power steering. And you had to get on top of that thing and just crank it in here. I didn't have to go to the gym. But, you know, when power steering started coming out like that, you know, you could turn the wheel with your little finger. You know what I'm saying? Are you with me? Now, the younger generation, they're like, what are you talking about? Well, just forget it. Amen? Like I say, they were introducing it back then, you know, the power steering when I was, you know. But gee, that it became easy. What was normally hard to turn a wheel, you know, especially if you're sitting still and not moving. You know, you really had to really use some muscle to move that thing. You know? But here's the thing. Jesus took the hardness out of doing things. He took the hardness out of getting forgiven. He took the hardness out of receiving your healing. And he made it easy for you. That's why he said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So if we have a heavy yoke, a heavy burden, that's not Jesus' burden. Amen? Amen? Say, healing is easy.
Healing is easy.
Forgiveness is easy.
Forgiveness is easy.
It's easy.
It's easy.
Amen? Amen? We say things like, oh, that's easy. You know? Praise God. So what was the deal with this? He had an obstacle. He had a challenge. But he didn't let that stop him. Can we look at one more example here? Let's go over to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. I think back, because I know my life better than anybody else, some of the greatest breakthroughs and miracles I've ever had in my life came when I wanted to give up so bad and quit so bad as far as using my faith. I was like, all right, this isn't going to happen. You know what I mean? I can deal with that. You know, thoughts that come to you like that. But, oh, I'm telling you, some of the greatest miracles, I mean miracles, came, praise God, when we didn't give up. Amen? I tell you, the one that so astounded me wasn't that long ago, four years ago, actually, is when Josh was just getting out. And some of you heard this, but I'll just make it short story here. It could have been long. But you know, when Josh graduated from high school, you know, he wanted a vehicle, you know. And so we went through the process of getting, you know, the information to, we didn't have the money at that point. We had just started this church, you know. We were believing God for every dime we had, praise God. And so we looked into getting a loan and so forth and so on. We went to the bank, sat down with the paper lady, filled out all the papers and all that. And, you know, and it's just to make a real story short, a long story real short, we went in there and then we filled out the papers, did everything we knew to do, came home. And Josh and I just sat there and we're like, I don't feel like we're supposed to take a loan out. Now, I'm not saying it's a sin to take a loan out, okay? I'm not saying that at all. But you just have to follow your heart. Okay? It's not a sin to take out a loan, okay? But there's a better way. There's a better way. Instead of paying all that interest, you know? So I just said, you know, Josh, and he was totally in agreement with me, you know? And it looked like he would never have a vehicle from the natural. I didn't have $1 saved, not $1 saved to put, or him or I, to put towards a vehicle. So it looked like it was going to take about 15 years to get a vehicle. You know, by that time he's got gray hair and everything else. From the natural. So we just began to pray. He would go up in his bedroom. He would pray in other tongues, you know, and it's so cool. He'd go in there and put on some worship music, just blast it. I mean, just the walls are moving, but it's worship music. That's how he likes to spend time with the Lord. He'd go into that bedroom and pray, you know, and he had a little journal. He'd write down things, you know, and he said he was praying in tongues, and he said the word Chevy. He was praying in tongues, and all of a sudden that word Chevy came out, and he wanted a Chevy truck. That's what he wanted. So he wrote it down in his little journal. He didn't tell me about it. You know, well, there was a car dealer up in Wexford that I had worked with to buy my car through, you know, and so I had called them and told them what we're looking for, you know, and so forth. And so he says, well, I'll keep my feelers out. And he called me back the next day. He said, I'll tell you what, there's a guy that came in here that knows you. He knows of you. He was an acquaintance. And he happens to have a truck that he wants to sell. And he wants to know if you're interested in it. And I go, well, what's he asking for? Well, $10,000 or $11,000, something like that, you know, for a used truck. And I said, well, I appreciate that, but, you know, it's okay right now. Well, the guy that he was talking about, the owner of the truck, called me up the same day. He said, hey, Keith, hey, what's up? he said, you know, because we know each other, we were acquaintances. We weren't great friends or anything, or we didn't really know each other that well. He says, I'll drop it $1,000 and bring it down to like 9.5 or something like that. You know, I said, you know, I really appreciate that, but I said, I'm just going to wait and be patient right now. And that's about all I said. I really appreciate you thinking of me, you know. Well, 2 days passed, and we're still in the same predicament. Now, keep in mind, there's an obstacle here. And 2 days later, he calls me up out of the clear blue, this guy. And he said, Keith, this is so-and-so. And I'm thinking, look, I'm not interested right now. I'm thinking this, you know, I didn't say that piece. He says, are you still thinking about the truck? Well, yeah, but, you know, we're just going to be patient with this thing. He goes, and he started to cry on the phone. Praise God. A grown man started to cry on the phone. And he said, now he's a Christian, him and his wife. And he said, my wife and I, last night we were talking about it and we just started crying and we just felt like the Lord just came into our room and said, we want to sow this truck to Joshua. Okay. And I'm thinking, I'm hearing this and this has never happened to me before. All right. There's a first time for everything. This has never happened to me before. Okay. There's a barrier about to be broken here. And he goes, we haven't been able to sleep because we want to sow this truck to your son, Joshua. You know, now Joshua was going to community college at the time, you know. So I sent him a text message, you know, and he's in school, you know. I said, you know, you're going to be amazed what just happened today. That's all I said. Immediately, I got a call. He went out in the, even missed the class, went out in the hallway. He called and said, what's going on? I said, well, sit down. You might need to sit down. And I told him what happened. And all I could hear him on the other end, he goes, oh, glory to God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Really? Did that really happen? I go, yeah, it really happened, you know? And I'll tell you, we got in our car and we set a day up that we went up there and made the transfer and the title and all that stuff, you know, and drove away in a debt-free truck. Drove away.
Praise God.
Amen. It's sitting out there right now on the corner right out there. Okay. And he, remember I told you he was praying in the spirit and he said Chevy. Well, this was a Chevy white Colorado. He had a desire for a white truck. Okay. Because he wanted to start a business. This is before he started his business. Okay. Now he's got a sign on decal on his door and everything like that, you know, but that was 4 years ago when this happened, you know. And to this day, every time I see that truck or get in that truck, it reminds me of the goodness of God.
Amen.
You say, well, brother, that happened to you because you're a pastor. Listen, had nothing to do with me being a pastor. Like Charles Capps used to say, I was so broke I couldn't afford to pay attention. I know what it's like to sit and look at my desk and there's a pile of bills that deep. on my desk and not what am I going to do? What, you know, the devil speaking in your mind. Been there, done that, you know, ulcers, whole nine yards trying to come against me. So I understand where people are coming from when the finances, the pressure of the finances try to hit you, you know. But Jesus is greater than that. And Jesus can get you money. And I say he will get you money because there's an open heaven over you. There's an open heaven over this church. There's an open heaven over you. And now's your receiving time. Praise God. So we have to break a barrier here. We have to be willing to go beyond our comfort zone. That was a real stretch for me to do that because here's the thing. Even while we're doing that, the whole time, the whole entire time that process is going on, the devil's speaking to my mind saying, you're not going to receive it. You're going to be hoofing it. Bicycle. Walk. I'm not kidding you. Every negative thought you can think of was coming against me, you know. Even the lady at the bank said, you're not going to take a loan out? And I said, no. And you could just see kind of a smirk on her face like, it wasn't faith. I'll tell you that right now. Because that's the process of the world to go through that, you know. Well, that was a real stretch for me. And the whole time that was happening, I had every thought coming against me saying, that ain't going to happen. That isn't going to happen. Okay? But it happened. You see, you can have faith in your heart and doubt in your head and still receive miracles. Because faith is of the heart. So don't be surprised if you have doubtful thoughts come against you. Because that's the job of the devil. His mission is to speak lies to your mind. That comes through the soul, the mind, will, and emotions, you know. And you can be trusting God, believing God, but still have thoughts coming against your head. That doesn't mean that you're in unbelief. Amen. Well, stay with me here. That doesn't mean that you're in unbelief because some of the greatest miracles I've seen happen, that was one of them, came when I had trust in my heart, but doubt was coming against my head the whole time. There's not a time that, even recently, you know, when I pray for healing, the devil speaks to my mind, not audibly, but just in thought, say, you're not going to get your healing this time. It's not going to happen this time. Amen? Well, like one guy said, the devil's a persistent cuss, isn't he? But we have to be more persistent. Okay? The only way that you're not going to have resistance is if you died and went to heaven. Someone chased Brother Hagin down one time years ago. They said, please pray for me, Brother Hagin. Tears in their eyes. Sincere. Said, please pray for me. Well, what can I pray for? Pray for me that I'll never have problems with the devil again. So he said, Lord, I pray that you'll send this brother home to heaven right now. And he, what? He was teaching him a lesson. He goes, brother, if I could pray that for you, I'd pray that for me. He goes, Jesus never said that you wouldn't have trouble on this earth. He said, in the world, you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. You're going to have things come against you. You're going to have doubt come against you. You're going to have unbelief come against you. In the form of a thought, sometimes other people will be the voice of the enemy, well-meaning people like we were talking about. But you know what? You just keep trusting him. You believe him, and things will happen. Praise God. All right, Luke chapter 19. I had you turn there. And we'll close with this verse, this couple of verses here this morning here in Luke chapter 19. And then we'll set you loose this morning. Amen. But Luke chapter 19, verse 2. And we're talking about obstacles here. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. So in other words, this guy had some moolah. Okay? But he wanted to see something. And it says in verse 3, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not for the press because of his little stature. In other words, he was small. He was a small man. Okay? It's interesting because I was in Mount Vernon. Some of you visited Mount Vernon, you know, and I didn't realize the tour guides were saying the people that came over from England, they were very short people. You know, George Washington was pretty small. And if you look at their beds, you'll find that out. And if I was to lay on that bed, my feet would hang over the end of it. You know what I'm saying? But Zacchaeus was a short man. It says right here.
Verse 3, he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not for the press because he was of little stature. Verse 4, and he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him as he passed that way. Now stop thinking about that, verse 4. Zacchaeus is so small that he's trying to jump up and look like a little kid. I can't see. I can't see. So he sees a sycamore tree. Well, there's no one up there. Remember the scripture, they sought means? In other words, they begin to think, oh, yeah, there's a roof. There's a rooftop. There's a tree. And so they didn't give up. He went beyond his comfort zone. He climbed a tree. Now look at what happened right here. In verse 4, and he ran and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and saw him and said, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide in your house. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? I don't think Zacchaeus knew that was going to happen. He was just trying to get a look. You know what I'm trying to say? He's just wanting to see something, you know? He's not waving a red flag, hey, I'm up here. But Jesus is walking that way, and all of a sudden he stops and he looks up. You know, me? All right? And look at what happened right here. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up, verse 5, and saw him and said, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for this day I must abide in your house. Verse 6. And so he made haste, came down, received him joyfully. Oh, he got excited about it. How do we receive Jesus? Sadly or joyfully? Amen? Praise God. Even how we come to church, do we come sad or glad? How we greet people, how we treat people, is it with sadness or with gladness? Because really, how we treat other people is actually how we treat Jesus. Remember that? Jesus said, if you've done it unto the least of me, my brethren, you've done it unto me. How we treat people is how we treat Jesus. Amen? Don't everybody say amen at once now. Okay? So verse 6 says, he made haste, came down, received him what? Joyfully. When they saw it, they all murmured and said that he was gone to be with a guest, the man that was a sinner. And so Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, the half of my goods I've given to the poor, and if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore it him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to your house, forasmuch as also is the son of Abraham. And the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. He's not feeling so short now. He's probably feeling like he's 20 feet tall. Why? Because Jesus. Now, let me ask you a question. If Zacchaeus, now he had to do something, right? We have our part. God has his part. But Zacchaeus was a man of small stature. He made a move that day that no one else did. He stood, he found a way. He's so short, he thought, there's got to be a way I can overcome this. So he climbed up into a sycamore tree. Amen? I can imagine the tree was feeling pretty good that day, too. It was planted for that purpose, for that moment. Amen? God has a tree for you. Amen? Yes, he does. He's got a way of escape for you as well. And he got up in that tree. He wasn't thinking Jesus is going to stop, but he stopped and said, Zacchaeus, I'm supposed to have dinner with you today. And so he was like, whoa, this is pretty exciting. He probably jumped out of the tree at that point, you know. And he followed him to his house. And, you know, of course, the religious people that day, they were like, he's a sinner. Blasphemy. You know how they get. All upset, all uptight. Sit in someone's pew and they get about half mad at you, you know. Remember how that was going to church back in the day? You know, people, that's my seat, you know, as if your name is on that thing. And people, religious people get so mad over the silliest things, you know. Come out of church and they're, you know, cussing each other out in the parking lot. You know what I'm saying? Because someone didn't see someone and they cut them off. You know what I'm saying? Anyway. So again, in closing, this point here that we wanted to make today is this. To break a barrier, you have to be willing to go beyond your comfort zone, to do things that maybe you haven't done before. Amen? And sometimes it's not always the real big things, you know, that are making us step out beyond our comfort zone. Sometimes it's little adjustments. Maybe it's getting up an extra 15 minutes early in the morning and saying, Lord, I'm going to dedicate this time to you. Right? Maybe it's just missing one meal. Maybe miss your lunch meal and say, I'm going to spend that time with the Lord right now. Don't worry, you'll survive. Okay? Amen? Most of us have enough storage to keep us going for a while. Are you with me now? But see, what are you doing? You're stepping beyond your comfort zone and you're saying, I'm going to do something different instead of being, you know, the ritualistic way I do things for the last whatever years. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to do something different. Hallelujah. Or I'm going to take a prayer walk. I'm going to go walk around the block. I'm going to pray or do something. Do something that you've never done before. And you begin to stretch yourself in this area. But here's what's going to happen. You're going to set yourself up for the miraculous to take place in your life. It's amazing. I have some friends through the last several years, you know, and I don't have time to share a lot of things today, you know, but this stuff works, but it's not for the faint-hearted. And I don't believe we have any faint-hearted people in here. You guys are courageous, you're bold, you're strong. Some of you guys in this room, you've been through some real tests and trials in your life. Amen? And when our sister was sharing here, just a few, Melissa was sharing a couple weeks ago, I didn't even know half of that stuff she had been through. I mean, very little did I know. But I'm like, boy, you talk about some resistance. Right? Amen. But did it pay to stay strong? Amen. Absolutely. It paid to stay strong and see God come through in her family and her finances. But it would have been so easy just to say, forget this stuff. This doesn't work. You know? Hallelujah. But today, as we leave here today, your spirit, man, I'm telling you what, you're sitting down on the outside, but inside you're standing up. I can sense it. Amen? And you're going to put your foot down and say, I'm not giving up. I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up. I don't care if I've had 25 discouraging things come against me lately. I'm going to stand up and I'm going to let God be God in my life. Are you with me now? Praise God. Let's pray and we'll dismiss here. Praise God. We love you, Lord. We praise you today. We worship you. We thank you. We love you. We thank you today, Father. Blessed be your holy name. Blessed be your wonderful name. Blessed be your glorious name, Father. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. There's some people in here now. The Lord didn't show me who it was. It's none of my business, really. But there's some people in here, and I mean more than one person in here, that you had some really discouraging news the last few weeks. Some things that came against you brought a lot of tears to your eyes and kind of just sat there and said, what am I going to do? And it was like this gray, dark cloud just moved into your house. And the devil was there and just said, ha, ha, ha. But know this. The hand of the Lord has turned that situation around. And now you're going to have the last laugh, not the enemy. For the Lord will turn your captivity. And the Lord is turning your captivity, and you're turning towards blessing and away from the curse. And so now there shall be resources. Now there shall be wealth. Yeah. Hallelujah. Mokitan diasukuramana. Yesutia lamakuto si predilekinjo krenza de krestadisha di krestanza kura makaki and a Messiah.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And so get ready. Prepare yourself for breakthrough. Prepare yourself for glory. Prepare yourself for provision. For it's on the way, even as we speak right now. It's on the way. It's on the way. It's on the way. It's on the way. So rejoice. 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 Be glad. Put away sadness. Put away crying. Put away tears. And put on gladness. Put on joy. For all shall be well, saith the Lord. All shall be well. Turn around. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You said, well, is that for me, Brother Keith? Well, if it spoke to your heart, yes, it's for you. You know, it could be for 25 people in this room. That's fine. Praise God. God's a big God. So receive. 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 Wola kisa makrasta. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Just let the Holy Ghost talk to you this morning. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Receive encouragement this morning. Receive from Him. Hande kasuka mahala. Henda la kito la mosa definitsa difrenda la garakasuko. Shakamahala kutubisiataka. Can we stand up and just lift our hands to the Lord?